is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break telling greedy. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's raining. It's stopped a little, but it might be raining in some other areas of Nassau, New Providence. So please drive with care and caution. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that comes on Guardian Radio every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays. Telephone numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC at 422-GR96, excuse me. And you can look us up on Cable Bahamas. I guess you can listen online at 969 on your cable TV, cable channel. And again, to all of the listeners and all of the people that when I'm traveling in the food store and the hardware store, who just simply just hear my voice and actually know who I am just by that, I would just say I'm quite amazed and I'm very humbled by each and every one of you who just greet me in a nice manner and make me feel good. You know, money can't make you feel the way I feel when I meet people. You know, and they say, you, Ruji, Valentino, say, you doing an awesome job on you just talking about our lives. You know, I'd be sitting on and listening, you be talking about our lives, you know, from so many different angles, and you have so many solutions, and you've been doing so many things with government over the years, and you, wow, it's just amazing, you know, that people are really out there listening to the show and the broadcast, and I'm very humbled by the greetings I get from each and every one of you. I appreciate each and every one of you. I hope I continue to do a wonderful job on Guardian Radio, and I just hope that God keeps on giving me the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and the bravery to continue to open up the eyes for those who have the power to make changes to the country, and those who looking to help, you know, encourage them to be a village again, you know, listen to the promo from Erin Green, and it takes a village, and each one of us can be that leader to at least change the lives, and you can see where our country is going. Today's show tonight, we're going to call it Violence Against Women, Crime, and what's it now? Police. Hold on. I got to reach out. Sorry. You know, I see a little emotional, you know, because like I said, people greet me, you know, I really get humbled by it because, you know, I'm not thinking I'm making that kind of impact, you know, but it's amazing to see that you're making an impact. That means people are listening. So I'm really humbled. Yes. And we talk about the inquiries. We had no inquiries in 74 police shooting. And we'd just like to talk about that a little bit and how that affects our topic here tonight. And we're going to begin it off by first. Let me give out some community shout-outs. I want to give a shout-out to the Royal Bahamas Police Force, the special unit, they attached to the spring break operation under the leadership of Chief Superintendent Marcus Sands and ASP Paul and Inspector Gaudet. Their names are Sergeant, and their numbers are, their rank, and the numbers are Sergeant 808 Bain, Sergeant 3367 Taylor's my boy, Sergeant 3442 Kerr, Corporal 3350 Wallace, Corporal 3853 Black, PC 3110 Parker, PC 4336 Moss, PC 4347 Wood, PC 4414 Amor, PC 4424 Evans, and PC 4460 Bean, and PC 4488 Williams. I had opportunity last night along with my good friend Inspector Gaudet, because I keep friends with Gaudet. We've been friends for over 30 years. And I had come with him last night to fish right there. The officers were having a get-together on teamwork. And it was wonderful to see how they collaborate together, have fun together. They pool their money together. And they had a wonderful time last night at Jamal Kenny at the Rake and Scrape Restaurant Fish Rye. Yes, Jamal Kenny at the Rake and Scrape Restaurant. He's the one of the Rake and Scrape Restaurant. It's a very nice restaurant, just opened, I think, last night. And they gave us the honors, and it was a wonderful opportunity to be in attendance with those officers. And they were having a ball. I want to just give a shout-out to that team of officers. And I also would like to give a shout-out to Neil Burrows. Yes. I have a message here from our organization. I was supposed to. Where had gone, man? I used to be so busy. Okay. All right. I think it's, oh man. Okay. All right. But anyway, I'm just going to give it out later as I have time. Yeah, like I said, tonight's topic is violence against women, crime, and increase in 74 police shooting, and we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. So we can start it off with, you know, we just recently had the latest murder where we found in the Nassau Guardian the deceased and her family and to her friends, you know. My condolences to each and every one of you. I know that your loss can never be replaced. I know that no words that no one could say to you at this time could make you feel any better. But I just want to encourage you that, you know, just to remain strong, cling tight to your close family members, remember the great memories, you know, that she made upon your lives and the lives of the kids, because I see him here, she was passionate about youth work. So we're losing people who really care about the nation's future. You know, I want to just say my condolences again. And we just found an ex-lady a few days ago in a canal out South Beach. And they just have a suspect in custody. You know, wow. Yeah, it's, you know, I'll talk a little bit more on it. You know, it's a very sad days in our country. You know, we are going from worse to worse in our country. And more women are being abused and, you know, sexually assaulted, murdered. And I want to get into that a little later on the show, but let me continue so I stay on base. The Minister of Education, Venezuela Martin, in the newspaper, she says it's time to end violence, you know. Minister Glennis Hannah Martin said that she had been assured that the gender violence bill is in its final drafting stages, saying that the legislation must be brought to the House of Assembly. Eagerness and interest in the legislation have grown amid escalating reports of violence against women. Now, I just want to say this. Do it look like this country that is just violence against women, or is violence against everybody, you know? Violence against children, violence against males, violence against police, you know? So this trying to separate this from the natural balance, what I mean is the balance that I don't think it should be a gender issue. You know, because the last time I checked, last year we had 100 some plus murders, and all of them were not females. Females did some of those murders also, or were involved and set up some of those murders as well. You know, so I just want to make that clear. So as far as this gender bill, I don't like it one bit, because it looks like it's a separation from the male and female, because like I said, right now in the country, the gun has no friend. The bullet has no friend. You know? But like I say, violence against women on the whole is wrong in the country. I can never condone it. Rape is something I don't like at all. Abuse is something I don't like at all, because I feel that you have to keep it calm, even though you could be mad. Or whatever the situation is, you should have the integrity to control yourself, to be humble enough to do not let anger get the best of you. And to the females out there, all right, you got to be careful, you know, in a relationship. You notice most of the cues are either the deceased boyfriend. Why is that? It's because the identity of man right now has been degraded. You know, you're like dealing with like a little boy in a man's body. And they're not mature enough to walk away from a situation or assess a situation. Their response is based on that poison response. And the ladies who are in this relationship with these type of men, who are gun-toting, or guys who in and out of jail, or guys who are hanging on the street shuffling and making a hustle, and they occasionally, you know, always in problem or carrying a firearm or always locked up when they're in this relationship with them. And when these guys do their stuff, you know, they're taking care of the girl the best way they can, you know, whether they have to go rob, whether they have to go sell drugs, whether it was a cell or nap, or whatever the situation is. And sometimes, you know, ladies, you got to be careful when the words come out of your mouth, because you could set somebody off. You know, just set them off. Snap, make them snap, you know, because these are poison who love you. And they're not properly trained to deal with these type of situation when in response, the guy is talking, and the girl said, "Man, you know, things ain't working over me and you, and, you know, I'm going to see somebody else, or I'm going out," and the guy might not want her to go because he feel that she's seeing somebody. And, you know, she says, you know, "Well, I'm not interested in you no more, and this and that, and you care," you know, some hurtful words, you know, both of them must say. And in this exchange is where we allow ourselves to be consumed with the killing demon, the violence demon. So I advise young ladies out there that if you have a boyfriend or a husband who you know has an anger management problem, who you see with a firearm, or you know he is a really serious young guy and he means business, you can't say things that is going to arouse him and get him mad, you know, out of anger. And people are wondering what is happening to these young men. Well, it's like this. With the breakdown of the family values and morals, meaning that no one is teaching them morals, like respect people things, respect a woman, you know. I see, for instance, I was on my phone and this little child was standing next to me and his mom was there as well. And he had his phone. And he saw me at my phone. And he threw his phone out of his hand. And he tell his mom he wants my phone. Now the lady could say to me, give me a phone. You know, he only could use it for a second. Why should I give him my phone? And he has his phone. And she's going to tell me, I'll give him my phone. So I say, why? No, you got his phone. Why don't you use his phone? So what I'm saying is this. People are not teaching their kids principle. And these boys and girls nowadays are growing up too early. And many of them are learning just to hustle and grow up in these inner city communities where there are no jobs or no business-minded community development is in place, training centers. So they're cooped up in these communities. They're seeing guys shooting, have turf war, and they growing up in this. And like I said, there's no excuse for anyone harming anyone, but it is what it is in these inner-city communities. In the Bahamas at large, and what it causes is, of course, is many people have mental health problems. And it causes many people to act out of anger. And the only way they solve their problem is with anger. And last week when I was talking, I was making reference that, you know, the lady who got killed last week with her daughter. And I said the government got an F. I wasn't really talking in particular with this government. I was talking about all governments have gotten an F when it comes to dealing with crime. Now, this government right now is doing an excellent job with investment and et cetera. But when it comes to protecting the citizens and when it comes to national security, we just continuing to say collateral damage and that crime is done and that we don't have so we're not taking it serious as we're supposed to take it serious. The lady who got killed, and I said that if you follow the story more on why the young man was involved and now he is charged before the court. If you listen to the lady's story, she had the same fate as her mom. Allison. Okay? So let me read it. The grim discovery of the bodies of Allison Thompson and her 14-year-old daughter, Tawana Thompson, has reopened wounds for the family after having lost Allison's mother and another female relative in similar incidents years ago. When Allison was a toddler, Allison's mother was shot in the head by a neighbor, according to two of her cousins, who spoke to the newspaper on the condition of anonymity because they were uncomfortable being identified. They said their aunt of theirs was also beaten to death in another incident. So that goes back 30 years. Violence against women. And it was a male. And she had the same fate as a mother. And then there was an incident that I was reading where this young gentleman who was accused and then he got charged for murder over in Elizabeth Estate. Him and three guys. And they are accused of killing a young gentleman, their friend, who they lured out the house. And they stabbed him to death and they let him bled to death in the shortcut. And then when you listen to one of the guys who was involved, his father got killed holding him when he was a baby. Now, he was involved, the same little child, father got killed, the same one of the same little gentlemen, one of the three who got charged in Elizabeth State murder, an incident a few years ago. When they did the background check, they saw that his father was killed. And then there was the next story where, similar to this, and we could go on and on and on and on and on. So it's just a revolving door in our country. You understand? Her mom was killed the same way. That's seriously and sad. It's crazy. See our young men in this country, when we're talking about this gender-based bill, according to Obi Wilchcombe, the minister responsible, he says the gender violence bill will not be rushed to Parliament. And it's good reason, because what is this bill trying to establish? Okay, like I say, to me, women are completely equal or more powerful than men in the country, in the Bahamas today. Women were never discriminated against in this country by men of color. They were victimized by the British government. Then after we got independence, women worked their way up for women to vote in the country and have their voices heard. And then we look at all the different promotion that women is getting in the major jobs in the country. And we could go on and on. We have Minister of Education, Candace Arnold Martin, for example. You know, the Speaker of the House, Speaker of the Senate, Janet Boswick, Lady Penland. You know, you could go on and on. And in fact, women are more powerful than men in this country. Because if you're married to an obligee like a Perry Christie or a Hubert Ingham and you're a Miss Sarah Ingram, you think Mr. Ingram's going to try to divorce Miss Sarah Ingram? Or Bernadette Christie is going to file for divorce against Mr. Christie? No, they're not. I mean, Mr. Christie's not going to do it because they know half of their money is gone and practically everything is gone. You know, because the courts work in favor of the woman. You know? So the gender bill, I don't think that something that not should be rushed at all. But what should be rushed is the fact that we have a crime problem and women are being killed, men are being killed, children are being killed, teenagers are being killed, grandmothers are being killed, and we just have to do something about it. But it's not a gender bill, and it should not be an issue in this country at this time, at least at no time. Okay. And women need to be trained how to be women. The women today are more like become masculine. You know, if you listen to them, they're saying dog, and you know, they are not soft and affectionate no more. They're like when we were gangsters back in the 90s, you know, that's how females are now. And not all, but the majority of them, you know, it's like back in the 90s and 70s, you know, men had many, multiple women. Nowadays, it's females have multiple men now. And it's reverse, and it's very strange and very dangerous because we're not having a family structure being established. And without a man at the head and a female to also head and to nurture and to train the next generation, we're going to see a lot more of these murders in the country. And the reason why I'm saying that is because we can talk about passing this gender bill. We can talk about the police, you know, are doing an awesome job. But the fact remains is that the murders are going to continue to go over 100. And we don't look at where we need to start. We always want to start at the end. And when I mean at the end, we're going at this gender bill. But we don't even see the problem. These problems start way before it gets to where a 22-year-old kills a 38-year-old mother and daughter. A 23-year-old now is responsible for killing, accused of killing a 38-year-old and a 12 or 13-year-old daughter. Okay? We have to be able to teach females to have a conversation with a young gentleman, ask him some questions where he's headed, you know, what he wants to do with his life. And then if he start to talk some positive, she has some plans of her own, and if they connect, them two can work together to build a better life for both of them. They're supporting one another. You know, so when they have a child, they would support the child. And as they continue to grow, we'd have a more productive society in the Bahamas. But as of right now, these inner city communities, as without development, without community centers, without empowerment, without the training schools, you know, with no jobs, you know, we are hired in the unemployment field, we could continue to see this crime issue and death in our country. And it's just me today, you a couple months later, and it's going to be you in Grandstand, and it's going to be you in Foxville who be crying, and it's going to be you in Life who be crying. You know, and see, we're not focusing because it not happened to us all at one time, so we're just allowing it to be systematic and programmed. But we all get in touch, you know? And soon, we're going to have a lot of people with a lot of anger and vengeance, and they want to take it out because someone killed their father, someone killed their mother, someone killed their brother, someone killed their grandmother. And it's thoughts and everywhere, and everyone is thinking like that. And then when you have this relationship problem with guys who have anger management problem, and they have a female, And that female is aggressive and they have verbal abuse. See, females are aggressive and they have verbal abuse. And verbal, the tongue is the most dangerous thing. This could get you killed so fast. This could get a person so mad in a discussion. The tongue could say one or two words. It could be a peaceful basketball talk. And this guy would just say, yeah, yeah. Why don't tell a secret that only you and him know? And once he say that, it's all over. They could be two good friends on a war would start just because of that. And that's what we become. You know? So we're going to see a lot of that. Crazy. Let me just do some. And then we look at the MP accused of a rape and assault on many people in the country, you know, are saying that he has yet to be brought or questioned. And they're wondering why, you know. And then we listen to the police. There was someone accused of rape around the same time, and they're in police custody. And they're being questioned, why is we up the MP? And like the former prime minister said that Dr. Hubert Ingram, Dr. Hubert Minnis, former prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, he said that, you know, everyone is proven innocent until guilty. Well, I'd say in this model, you know, I can't say he's guilty or innocent, but like I said, everyone's accused. And we saw it on Facebook. You know, because people could lie on you. Now, I'm not saying the lady lied, you know, but people could lie on you, and so they have to do proper investigation. You sit in MP. And we all know that. If you listen to sworn in by MPs, you know, they are sworn to secrecy. And in doing so, you know, they are defended by their colleagues and their maternity, you know, that's a party. Now, I'm not saying they're stopping justice, you know, from happening. But in this case, the police are going to have to do proper investigation because they're saying that's a former girlfriend. So all they're saying is a former girlfriend, you know. And they have to look into that because it's his word against her word in this case. But if that was me or you and a report made against us, against a rape, the police would come for us in full force, grab us up, just to the station. They might do their proper investigation. They might, because sometimes they do ask questions to see if they're lying up, because sometimes females be lying. But 90% of the time, they take the advice of the female. You know? So it's just, you know, so I guess they're waiting to see. But a similar thing happened a few years ago, and I could always remember this. The late, great Bradley Roberts, member of Parliament for the Bina Grandstand constituency. He was elected, I think, more than four or five times for the Bina Grandstand constituency. He is a giant of a man. You know, not to take nothing from him, he's deceased now, so I'm not meaning to squander his name, you know, letting the man rest in peace. But it was still a part of history and it's a fact. And I'm just using that for example. Not to be disrespectful to his family or to his loved ones. I'm just using something as a fact that everyone heard about by the news. And I just want to use that as a fact that in these cases, sometimes the political leaders are the ones who holds the key of if someone is going to be investigated. And we have heard that over and over by prime ministers, you know, using their words. And they're the ones who would decide when it comes to cabinet minister what is going to be investigated. Because we heard the former prime minister, Paul Rowell, former commissioner of police, Paul Rowell, he's now retired. He said it at his own mouth. And I said it on the show months before that. And he said it, that there is interference from him doing his job. So I can remember there was an allegation made against the great Bradley Roberts. He was a sitting member of Parliament. He was the member for being a grandstand, and a lady made an allegation against him concerning a rape claim and an assault claim. And it was brought up after a while. You know, it was in the news. No one believed it. But then eventually, he was summoned to CID, and then he was questioned. He went there off his own. He was not arrested. And then after an hour or so, or 2 hours, they said he was released after they questioned him fully. And he went home. He went about his business. Then I can remember in the House of Parliament, there was a certain member who had some information concerning Sweet Harden. And I think they was going to present it against the Free National Movement. And I can remember quite well that the former Prime Minister, the Honorable Hubert Alexander Ingram, he hold up a file. And he say, you go ahead. And he's referring to certain MP. And he say, you do that? Someone is going to jail. And he had a dock in his hand. And it was a file. And if the certain MP did bring out the information about the Sweetheart and MPs, if I'm correct, you were going to flash it for the Bahamas and the world to see. Do you all remember that? And he flashed the file. Now, the members, let me put it in the right way. Now, this file has some incriminating evidence against an MP or MPs. And the Prime Minister at the time shook it for the world to see and the BMN people to see. And then that certain MP who made the allegation that he was going to release the information about the Sweetheart and MPs, he got quiet. And that file that Hubert Ingram had in his hand never came to light. And then we saw the late, great Bradley Roberts resign from Parliament. So, I don't know if he is guilty, but I know that there's political interference. I don't know. I can't say if he's guilty, but we should all know that politicians are protected, because if you listen, that when they are swearing, they'll say they hold to secrecy. They serve the king, firstly. They swear to hold secrecy, and what's discussed in Parliament is confidential. There's no police officer could question them. I mean, probably in the criminal matter, but can't question them that nothing is discussed in cabinet. So it's off limits for law enforcement to ask them things discussed in cabinet. That's our law. And then thirdly, they give their allegiance to the Bahamian people. And, you know, in response to crime, I heard the former Prime Minister menace saying that, you know, when it concerns crime, that the Davis administration is clueless and that they now resorting to the United States of America to see how they can assist us in getting the trying to see how they can collaborate together to do a counter offensive of assault rifle and firearms that are coming to the country and around the Caribbean, where there are high rate of crime and the guns are traced back to America. Mr. Minister saying now that the Prime Minister is clueless and he has no idea, and now that he's relying on America to solve our problem, which in, he is saying that the Prime Minister should be able to at least cry shame on the Prime Minister and should be able to have some type of program or solution to the country's crime problem. But I'll say this to the former Prime Minister, Hubert Alexander Minnis. So, in case you don't remember, I don't know if the beating to the poll or the COVID-19 short do you talk? Had some a type of effect on you if you could remember, you was the prime minister of the country. And you definitely had no solution to the country's problem. So why now you want to speak on this issue, even though I feel that Davis administration don't have a solution to the crime problem in the country? They have a lot of solutions for many other different things, but when it comes to the crime problem, you need a crime strategist who could dissect the crime problem in the country and come up with a strategic plan, and they don't have no one like that. So it's just going to be police on the streets. When there's a high spike in crime, we increase the police patrol for the saturation patrol, and we go after the hot spots. And we've been doing that for the last 40 years. And the result is a balance where the country doesn't overflow with criminal activities. It's just a balance. It means that they keep it at what you call acceptable level. You know, acceptable levels like this. When you look at the chocolate and they're making chocolate, they assure you that they allow a certain amount of rat poo in the chocolates that you're eating. So all that Snickers and all that stuff and all that, if I'm correct, that is a rat poo. And health officials and the scientists said that is good. So in other words, many of us going to just be casually at war. They try to keep the murder rate under 100 plus because they know that it's going to continue. Our commissioner of police knows that. Our prime minister knows that. The opposition leaders know that. Okay? Let me just say that. They know that. But it seems that we don't know that. And if we means us don't help develop the country and stop depending 100% on government and go on these highways and byways and see how we can help change the lives of many of the boys and girls, teach them morals again, teach them business, teach them family structure, so that they have respect for the old, that they have respect for a child, that they have respect for a beautiful girl, that they love and cherish her, and that they wouldn't want to kill them. They would know how to walk away because they'd have the training and they'd have the mentors and the mindset change. Other than that, we're going to be having murders like this every day or so. Because there's no end. There's no end. Because people don't understand this is spiritual, you know. And when I say it's spiritual, I come from the streets and I just was a violent person. And I've seen all walks of bad boys who would make me, you know, make my skin crawl, me knowing them. I just was a violent person, but in my tenure as being a leader, I get to meet all kind of different people with different personality. Some are armed robbers. Some are cold murderers. Some are rapists, you know. Some were, man, listen, you know, in my tenure. And information, I had intelligence where we would get information about what happened and who do who. So I had so much information in the last 40 years, being a part of it and just getting information, you will know what's going on in the streets. And it's just reoccurrences of these same people. They're dead now. Some of them are dead. But when I read the newspaper and I see incidents like the double murder, for instance, that demon reincarnated into that young man, a 23-year-old. I know that 23-year-old. I know his mom. You understand? I know the 38-year-old girl too. And she come to get the find out. I heard that she's my family. The 23-year-old, you know, I know his mom, right? And he was on crack cocaine at 23. know, at 23 years old. In fact, right now, I'm seeing an increase in cocaine addicts at a very young age. It looked like we were going back to the 90s, people, because I've seen a lot of young men now walking around on crack cocaine. I thought the crack cocaine era was dead. But all of a sudden now, these lost and hopeless young men, they need something to calm their mind, to get them out of this world, this hell, where they see no future. And their world is delusional. And they are hustlers. And when we have hustlers walking around the streets, they are opportunists. So when they walk in the street, they're walking to the street, they're seeing in the car, they're looking to people's houses. They want something. And it makes them very dangerous individuals looming on the streets. And right now, this looks like it's going back to the 90s. Look at all these females getting killed, and we find all these decomposed bodies. Nassau's loaded with murderers and want to be murderers, you know. You understand? And when we look at this, police involved shooting, and I want to show you how all this is connected. We're in the Crescent 74 police shooting. 74 police shooting. 74. Wow. That's a lot of. But why? Some of these police officers have the same mentality as the people on the streets. You heard the former commissioner says that, you know, it's just that they're not killing the way how people are killing on the streets. But in some of the cases, we, the Bahamian public, I know some of the murders that happened were wrong and not justified. Some cases, the murders were justified. But some cases, many people pinpointed, and we as citizens could tell you when something is fishy. And many Bahamian people are hurting. They want answers from the coroner's court. But, you know, with the COVID-19, you know, they are being unable to start the coroner's court, but they think they're starting it up now. And many people have lost faith in the police. And many people say, you know, the police are gangsters and they're drug dealers. In some cases, we do have officers on the force right now who are doing these things. You understand? We do. We don't know who they are, but citizens around the country in Camp Road, Grandstand, Soul Beach, they know some of the officers. That don't mean all officers are bad. That don't mean all citizens are bad. It is just the way how things are designed. You know, you're not going to have a perfect whole entire police force. There are going to be a few bad apples. And those bad apples are going to feel like, going to make us feel like many bad apples. And the reason somebody is shooting are related is because if you have 100 murders a year with armed police officers, we are spending millions on patrol cars, millions on the court, millions on defense attorney, millions on the Supreme Court, and et cetera, right? And we still having 100 plus murders. So if you're the police and you're grinding these scenes and you're seeing these murders like that, and they happen under the watch of over 3,000 or close to 3,500 police officers, and then I think it's about 2,000 or 3,000 defense, 2,000 plus or 2,700 defense force officers. And we have mostly about 200 working with the police, like on the streets. And they kind of get a hold on the murders. It's rare for them to pull up on the scene where a murder scene is happening. You might hear that once or twice. in a year where police are actually on the scene and be able to apprehend the suspect. But people are always able to evade the police. So when you're getting briefed and you're hearing all the shooting, what you think the commissioner of police is going to say to his officers, you know, off air? You know, he's not going to say this to the public. He's going to say it off air. He said, boy, listen, we had some serious homicides. And we have some of these homicides are connected to repeated offenders. And these persons are known to shoot at the police. And they're known to hang this particular spot. And we feel that they're responsible for this and this murder, but we don't have evidence on them. And this is their hangout spot. And he's going to tell his officers that when you go in this area, be vigilant. You have to go home to your family and shoot first and ask questions later. Now, he's not going to say that on air, but he's going to tell them in the briefing report. Even the superintendent who's in charge of these areas, they're going to tell these officers, no, you got to come home. It's dangerous out there, you know? If it wasn't dangerous out there, you think the police would have been carrying AR-15? If it ain't dangerous out there? Yeah. So, when we look at these 74 police shooting, some are unjustifiable. And some are justifiable. In some cases, police have killed innocent people. Point off the bat. But the problem is, the police force is never going to admit it. It's rare that you see the police commissioner come on TV and say, you know, we took this person for the wrong person. And as a result, he was not the culprit. And as a result, he lost his life. We'd like to apologize to the family, and we could see how we can work with them to stop their grievance, make an apology we can bring he or she back, but we were wrong. You're never going to see that because they're maternity. And like I said, they're good beliefs and they're bad beliefs, but these are the policies. This is the same thing that goes on in politics. This is what goes on in the church. You want to see the pastor of Ender Jail and his congregation and fellow pastors vouch for him. And they went to the court and they vouch for him to see how good a pastor he is. But he raped somebody. But they went to court and they supported him even though he did wrong. And they said, you know, God forgive. And then they want him to be pastor of the church again. So it's a fraternity, and you can't blame them, but it's wrong because you're actually stopping the development of your country. You're bringing corruption in the police department, in the court system. And because you're protecting your colleagues and not defending what's right, we get a case from the father. You know? The father starts to. The God, the creator, whatever you want to call him, Allah, beginning to end, Buddha, whatever you want to call him, the universe, he starts to curse the nation. And when he starts to curse the nation, all kind of bad things happen to the nation till it actually crumbles for the end. All great nations have crumbled from an end. No one beat them. They beat themselves because when the blessing goes away, the Father no longer communicates with that nation because the nation has become a sinful nation. He causes the nation to explode from inside. You have a civil war, Rome. You have the civil war and how Julius Caesar's cabinet, 33 or some members, stab him Even when they was on verge of conquering the world, but jealousy got in. But because they had so much different corruption, they don't want power. All of them had power, but they want power with the Caesar. They don't want him to have that title to be over them. And they conquered the world. Look at all great civilization. Solomon and Gomorrah, what they got destroyed for. What the world got destroyed for. You don't believe that there was a great flood. Look, I live in the Bahamas. And I look at Facebook. And everywhere where there was a desert, there was water. Wherever there was a mountain, you find fish bones. Mountains way up. Dry mountains. In the Sahara Desert, which you call a desert, was once blooming with sharks, fish. But known to man, the desert has been barren for thousands of years. So what that means? It means that something happened catastrophic many moons ago. It's because we want some... Listen, I was a wicked person. Me. Let me tell you. I was a wicked person. I used to be plotting on people because my mind was twisted. And when I get to know, not know God, not know Jesus, but I start though to take on the characteristics of Jesus and of God. Start to love people. Start to not talk about people. Start to help people. That wickedness inside me, gone. And you know what I see right now in this country? All type of wickedness in this country. All type. Am I perfect? No. I have a habit. Everyone knows my habit. But am I a child molester? No. Am I a person who goes behind people's back and talk about them? No. Do I hang with people? No. Do I plot on people? No. Do I have the black rob syndrome that when I see a brother or sister doing good, that I say in my mind bad things about them and want bad things to happen to them? No. I happy for their brother and sister. And I want them to do good and about productive lives. So to me, I try to live my life like Christ, like John the Baptist, Meshach and Abednego them. So I'm trying to apply those characteristics to my life. And it's made me a better person. Like I said, am I perfect? No. But I'm not doing things that are against nature and against the Creator. Transgender. That's against our belief. Okay? And I'm not against no one who's transgender. Am I against someone who's gay? No, I have family member. I have friends. And I know friends. They don't do these things in front of me or around me. So I have no problem with them. And they never come on to me. So they have their life and they live their life. They don't try and infringe their lives on me. But when you have organization and people trying to infringe these things on our kids and our nation, it's wrong. You know, if a Bahamian over here is gay, man or woman, that's their right. But don't ask us to put it in law as a gender equality bill. No, that's you. If you want to do that, that is you. Okay, that's you. That don't have nothing to do with the nation. If you want to be a transgender and change your sex organ, that is on you. But don't talk about healthcare. Because when you do that, you're going to need healthcare more than half of the nation. Healthcare will not be able to be paid for if we have but 50 people with transgender who change their sex in this country. Because they're going to need medication. Straight through for the rest of their lives. You know, hormones and et cetera. They're going to have to go to talk to us on a regular basis. They're going to have their own room because they say they're going to be discriminated against. You understand? And most importantly, if we're going to say we're going to talk about these issues, let's always talk about what is the side effect. And when we look at it, many people who are transgender today are very sorry they had changed their sex organ. They want to be man again, and they want to be woman again. They want to have children. You understand? And then with this corruption and politics and the paternity with the beliefs, you know, we're becoming a wicked nation. And that's the bottom line. You understand? We in this Bahamas, we are becoming a wicked nation where we don't like one another as Bahamians. Where we talk down on one another, curse at one another. People who help you, turn your back on. People who go all out for you, you turn your back on. Who love you and cause them to hate you, but they don't have no hate now. They just let you go and they never bother with you ever again. But you don't know the person who you let go is the only person in the world who love you and would do anything for you. And you will turn your back on that person in an instant. That's what we become. No. All these young ladies, and like I say, ladies, please listen to me. Mothers, fathers, ladies, please, when y'all have an altercation and row with your boyfriend, keep your mouth quiet. If you're in the car, don't say hurtful things, you know? The lady in South Beach who lost her life, she's a prime example for many of you girls out there. What you think could have happened? Why you think she was in an isolated place? They were having a talk. And then there was an argument. And then there was an argument that was gun on them. And you know what he had his gun on them for? Not to kill this girl, you know. He had his gun because he had his gun for protection. So anyway he go, he cast his gun. But not knowing to him, that gun is talk to you. You know, the more you have it around you, it talks to you. It wants you to pull the trigger and do stupid stuff because it's an idol. You know, that's what people don't understand. It's an idol. It draws you. The minute you get mad, you're around with your girlfriend. Why you got to go kill your girlfriend? Oh, man. You know, a woman, you take out a gun and blow a woman brains out, a man. A woman is fragile. A mode on the heart. So one hard slap, eh? Or on two hard slap, and she on the ground, she might be knocking conscious. That's better than killing her. But the shooter and kill her, or the stab and kill her, and her child. That's crazy. I ain't had the nerve to do that. But that's why I was saying that earlier. The guys were, some of the guys didn't know. Man, they used to scare me. I told you I used to be on moves, just going, making moves. You know, we need a couple of dollars. Guys moving through, right? Just moving through. I'd hear them. Couple, Scoochie. They in the house. They look like they doing something stupid like they bought them in the grid. I said, what? Oh boy, not me. Anyone who know me, no, I don't play that. If I dare and you're going to try rob, I can stop you. If you're going to try rape, I can stop you. I might do something even more here than just stop you. Because I mean, plenty of times, I did some things to people who were disrespecting all the people, locking their place, you know, or cursing out all the people, or doing some things, you know, and I ran. I had principle, ain't no more morals in this country no more. Churches fail, you know, kids don't go to church no more. So the only thing we can do now is left up to the citizen and village again and have as much community activities as possible. Those out there who are Bahamian citizens are doing good and have some connection to the inner city. And go back in there and try set up some programs and teach our young males how to be a husband, what it is to be a man, you know, explain to them what it is to be a man, what the responsibility is of a man. And we need to do the same thing with our females. We have to teach them how to be more feminine and how to be able to adopt their husband, future husband or future boyfriend. We have to teach them morals and the way they dress, you know. Because we have beautiful women out there who are beautiful. They wear a tighter set of clothes. They show their private parts. They show their chests, you know. And this in turn, you know, you're walking into the community. This in turn draws the attention of guys who are hanging on the street. They don't have no future. And I'm not disrespecting them or being disrespectful, you know. But you don't have no future. Because he only wants to spank. And you might just want to like a bad boy because you hear your name ringing with your girlfriend's them. And this is the decision you're going to make. So we have to make females make better decision. Because a 38-year-old girl got killed from a 23-year-old. The 23-year-old young man don't have no children. But she has two. So how is this supposed to work? You are way more experienced than this 23-year-old. Okay? So how is this supposed to work? Unless you're going to teach him the ropes. Now, I say it can't work. But she herself made a bad decision. Because she's 38 years of age. This guy's 23. He ain't working. You know his history. So what he could do for you and what he could do for your child. That is not a relationship you're supposed to even be in the first place. You understand? Now, if he's a 22-year-old and he's working and he has a little apartment and he's thinking about opening his business or thinking about going to law school or being a plumber, yeah. Now, you go like that 22-year-old because with the experience you get as a 38-year-old mother, he becomes a father. And then eventually he'd have a child with you. So he eventually love one child for yourself, but he'd have two others who he love because when you get to meet the mother, you get the love of children, and then with your child, they become family. So y'all can have a good family life. So that decision was bad. You understand? So we need the lady parents, and I know she is in her age now, so she doesn't do her time. But we need people, females, who are in position in these political parties in the church to put aside their differences and understand that they need to teach our ladies morals. Because 10 times out of one, they make the bad choice in picking males. They pick males who are actually boys, you know, still thinking like a boy. So when you see a guy like 19, 20, 21, or 22, 23, you think he's a man, but he's actually 15, 16. Because he's still toting around a gun. And he has no future. And you're going to like him. You know, it's crazy. Mothers, talk to your daughters on the decision they make. And you know how serious these guys is, who your daughters is being involved with. You see them fighting in the road. And it's hard to walk with these relationship, you know. Because it's a love thing too. You know, so you can't just tell someone to come out of love. You know, it takes time. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. So mothers and ladies, listen. Learn from these ladies. if you get an aggressive boyfriend and he gets mad and you get mad, you know, if you're in a relationship and you don't prolong your life, send me a tune of voice. Either way, either the man, either your way or his way. Because you could lose your life. 10 times out of 1, verbal abuse leads to physical abuse. Let me see what else I can say now. And I just want to comment on the police again. We taking a break? The producer is playing our break song. So I hope you're enjoying the show on Guiding Radio 96.9. I'm Valentino O'Brien. And our topic tonight was violence against women, crime, and crash into 71 police shooting. And be right back after the break.
Sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. But I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent
people. What you thinking?
We want something different.
People, what you wanting?
We want local government.
I can tell them no more slunking. I can tell them no more joking. Gone down Blue Hill Road, gone down Village Road, gone down Nassau Road. We want local government. We want local government.
Right.
We want local government.
Shed a love.
We want local government.
We are called for local government.
Sign the petition and find out more information at risebahamas.net.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, Bigamitan, bro.
Good night, we are back on Guiding Radio 96.9. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien. And I take this opportunity to talk about these subjects because I want to bring some things to light. You know, we're seeing a lot of females getting murdered, but the verbal abuse sometimes the female use, like what they use when in that situation with these particular young men who are very violent and very dangerous when they get mad. You understand? And what happens is that verbal abuse. Because the female, you know, she says things. And we all know this. Y'all know I'm talking the truth. All y'all who listen to the show know that you are with your significant others. And in some cases, you will fight with them. And when you fight with them, sometimes you lose your mind. And unless you regain your anger, you could actually be responsible for a murder. And this happens so often in the community. This is like a regular day thing. In national providence. You know, we are a violent society. I mean, you must admit that. You know, even with the 74 police and crash shooting shows you this. And like I said, we have a lot of rogue police officers who are breaking the law. And we know as citizens that some of these inquests and these police shooting, innocent people are being killed on the mistake of the police. And in some of these cases, people are saying that the police put firearm on the suspect, you know, and they would say, you know, the suspect pointed a gun at them and fired a shot. And in trying, they fed for their lives. And they stick to this. In some cases, to be in public knows it's not true. And one of those incidents in Mason Addition, down there, Lil D in Mason Addition, his family still is advocating for him. And we all know the story in the inner city community. The police said one story, and then hundreds of people in that area said a different story. And there's an inquest going on now, and the family still is waiting on answers. And that could be one of the cases where he was an innocent young man, just mistakenly took for the wrong person wearing the same clothes. And the person could have run past him wearing the same clothes. And the police is in pursuit because it was reported to be an armed robbery. So the police respond when they hear armed robbery is they got to come well prepared. They got to be able to go home to their family. So when they get this call in the station and they grab their guns and they're on the road, even though they're supposed to do their job with the utmost, professionalism, you know, their adrenaline is going, they're seeing someone run, they gave chase, you know, things happen. And then someone is shot. And, you know, so in some cases like that, so the Bahamian people have lost faith, you know, with 74 inquests. And they are more police shooting on the news. You understand? There's going to continue to be police shooting, and we're going to continue to see guys shoot at the police. So with this in mind, the police use this as their excuse because of the high gun battles that are happening between the police and the individual. And in some cases, the innocent will suffer for the guilty. And the Bible tells you that. And it's because we have so much crime happening when it comes to violence that the police are on high alert. And in many cases, that's why they're so aggressive to me, to us as citizens. You know, you're driving a car, you don't break the law. You know, just let me give you a prime example. If there's a shooting in a particular area, the police comes around, you know, and some guys are standing on the road down the road. And if the first police car don't spot them, you know, he would ride past and let them go. But the second or third car comes a couple of minutes later, would see them there, or someone walking the road, and they would start to be aggressive, like, don't move, you know. Person would say, what I do? Shut your mouth, you know. Put your hands up, or get on the ground. I ain't getting on the ground, officer, I ain't getting on the ground. Officer, get on the ground. I ain't getting on the ground, officer. You know, officer, put his hand and get physical, you know. And you're an innocent person, but just that the area is the area where a call came in where there's gunshots. So when them officers leave, they're speeding and they're coming and they're looking for the suspect. And sometimes people be walking around at the same time in this area who are smoking a little joint. You understand? Or an ex guy could be walking in an area and he has a gun, but the call is not for him. But the police is coming in the area and he's walking with a gun, so he take off, eh? And he end up having an altercation with the police. You know, you understand? So that's what's happening. You know, the police are very aggressive. We have 100 plus murders. They go on these scenes and they see the carnage, what the average Bahamian is doing when it comes to the criminal mentality. And they say, boy, these guys dangerous. So the police get dangerous. So until we can see the prison decline in inmates. We have about 1,400, 1,300 inmates. Until we can see that get down to about 200, 300, we can continue to have this problem. Until we build community centers, find ways we could create employment in these communities and build these communities where it's livable for the kids that are born and raised in this community, have the structure and mechanism in place, community center, The church is assisting. The community leaders are doing the community programs. We get scholarship given out in the community. We have a feeding program in the community. We have small business development in that particular community to deal with the needs and concerns of the community and identify at-risk kids, at-risk guys coming out of prison, and be able to have the tools to change the mindset and improve the quality of life of the everyday citizen in these inner-city communities. So yes, you know, I see Candy from our director of form, and she is doing such an awesome job, and she is a mechanism and a plus to the Cornwall of the Bahamas, because she goes and she consoles those who have lost loved ones, those who are asking for answers in the police shooting, those who are asking answers for their loved ones who were killed in a heinous crime in the country. And she is the front line. And she was speaking, you know, and saying that the Minister of National Security, being Munro, when he was in opposition, he was talking about these police killing. Now that he's Minister of National Security, he defends it. Well, I'll be behaving some of the stupidest set of people in the world. We know that being in opposition means that you have to do and say things that you could get the BNB people riled up enough to build your clientele and to build momentum and say things like, I do this when I get in government. I do that when I get in government. But being in opposition is one thing. When you get in government, you are supporting government. You are part of the government system. So what he said he was going to do in opposition, he cannot do when he becomes the government of the Bahamas, member of parliament. Because we Bahamians don't understand our own law and our own country. Let me tell you why. We say the Crown Line is our own, right? We say the Crown Line is our own. Fox. When the sitting minister, Warren Miller, he was speaking out against the line. I hope it's Warren Miller. Yeah. And when he was with the Free National Movement, and then he left them, he was speaking on some of the things he liked to do if he become a member of parliament. I mean, he was the member of parliament of the PLP one election. Remember, he switched over. And he was talking all that. And this is not an attack on him. I'm just showing you facts. And he talked about the Grand Line and what's going on with the Grand Line. Okay? And he was like, you know, the opposition. He became the government. And then he, all of a sudden, he defends the government. You know, Lincoln being in the Coalition of Independence went out there, and they say, you know, this being in Crown Line, and if the Haitian could get it, you could get it. Listen what the minister for the department said. He said that Crown Line is the Crown Line. Let me say the words. The Crown Line is of the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, not the citizen, the government. See, when we elect any party to become the government, right? Y'all listening? Anytime we elect a party that becomes the government, they are the government. The government is the Bahamian people. We are just taxpayers. You understand? So the land goes from us, and we give the power when we vote, and we go to the polls and we vote, we elect, and when they elect it, they now are the government and the bombers and the line is down. Not the Bahamian people who only want to listen to say. Then the Minister of National Security came on TV and say that all those who are on the Bahamian government crime line are to evict in 20-something days or 30-something days. People who have been there 20 years. Now, you listen? See, we getting mixed up. We are taxpayers, Bahamian people. When we elect any one of those party, all the resources turning over to them. The crime line is in the hands of who? Philip Brave Davis. The Sovereign Wealth Fund, the name has changed, is in the hands of Philip Brave Davis, the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And many people were complaining about how the Sovereign Wealth Fund name has changed and is in the hands of the Prime Minister. Because the Prime Minister is the king of the Bahamas. And when we vote a king. And according to our laws, the king owns the crown land. The king owns the natural resources. Okay? The king, King Brave Davis. Okay? So, study your law. I tell you, listen to the swearing. The swearing tells you all these things, and y'all still don't understand. We as a citizen have to stand up. Build a village again. Become millionaires and thousandaires and hundredaires. And let's change our destiny. As it currently stands right now, we ain't looking too good. Our young men's minds are twisted. They are violent. Our young ladies' minds are twisted. And they are violent and they are abusive and they are verbal abuse. They are very dangerous. We're not creating a society we're supposed to be building. We are building a country of wipers. And we can see it every day in the news. We are finding bodies all over Nassau, left and right. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Brother Brown.
Go ahead. That's Mr. Thompson?
That's me. Yeah, oh, I have to call you because you made some very interesting remarks on air just now.
Yeah, that's your talks. Go ahead, sir.
And I got a question whether those remarks are constitutionally sound.
Go ahead, sir.
You called the Prime Minister a king.
Yes, sir.
Where is that in the Constitution?
It's not in the Constitution, but anyone who's elected, remember now, let me just explain something to you. Any place besides England, right, who under England can only have a prime minister or a president like the United States of America. But the position of prime minister or president is no different than a king. But the only one thing we have to change the Mary for IBS if he's elected again. That's what I was referring to.
You got to be very careful with those kind of terminologies because we do have the monarchy. The Constitution talks about Her Majesty the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a vacancy in the office now because we don't have a queen.
Mm-hmm.
Parliament consists of Her Majesty the Queen, one,
mm-hmm.
a Senate,
mm-hmm.
two, a House of Assembly,
mm-hmm.
three. That's the Parliament.
Yes, sir.
Now, we are a sovereign, independent, democratic, theocratic state. That's constitutional.
What is theocratic?
The Constitution says we are under the supremacy of God.
Okay.
When you come under the supremacy of God and you're dealing with Christian values and spiritual values,
mm-hmm.
and this is the country under God of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
One second, Mr. Chairman. What about if the person who's elected isn't the person of God and who has no moral, but is our leader?
That's an interesting question.
And that's what happened to us. So when you say we're a Christian nation, that's all good. But the leaders who have the power are not Christian. They don't have these values. They into themselves.
I think you're jumping a little too quickly.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
take it one step at a time.
Go ahead, sir.
When you talk about the persons going to vote, the way how our system is set up,
mm-hmm.
you vote for a parliamentary, well, let's put it this way, you ought to be, let me get the words right now, you ought to be voting for a parliamentary representative.
Yes, sir.
Not a party representative.
But that's what we do.
No, but listen, but that's, listen, man, but, give me
no,
a point.
But we do that, Mr. Thompson, that's what we do. Go ahead. I ain't cutting you off. I just said that's what
I know, but I'm not knocking you for what you're saying. But see, this is the problem that has been with us for 56 years and 3 months.
Yes, sir.
Going all the way back to January 10, 1967. And I'm saying to you, the Bahamian people have never gotten it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between party representative and parliamentary
yes.
representative.
Yes, yes.
The Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas addresses both.
Yes.
When you go to the polls, you are to choose, you ought to be choosing. And see, this is where Bahamian people need a lot of education on this.
Yes.
A parliamentary representative, not a party representative.
That's right, without knocking. Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
that,
I understand.
That's where the problem is right there.
Yes.
That is the way it is today.
As yes,
I,
that's what we're going to... Yes.
We got to work on that one.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
But, you know, I took exception when you made those comments because if something is not constitutionally sound, I have to take exception to it.
Yeah, but what I was saying is this was designed by those who helped through the Constitution, they're the overall law over the Constitution. That's that come from England. And anywhere where England puts a flag, that country cannot have a king or a queen. They allow you to either be a president or a prime minister. Same thing
yeah,
with America.
But Valentino Brown, you got it wrong.
No, sir. See, you misinterpreted me. What I'm trying to explain to you, the Constitution doesn't have that. But this, what I'm talking about, been around before the Constitution been run. This the plan was designed way ahead of the Constitution from back in the 1800s, 1900s. Mr. Thompson, before the Constitution was around, that's how it's set up.
When you look at Article 2,
I know
it says the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Bahamas is the supreme law of the land.
Listen, Mr. Thompson.
Not some funny things what somebody wrote some time
no,
ago.
No, that's Mr. Thompson. Listen. But I'm saying to you, I'm not disagreeing with you. You're talking about right in the last 50 years, Mr. Thompson. I'm talking about a couple hundred years, Mr. Thompson. That's what I'm talking about. I'm in the Constitution. This tops the Constitution.
Wait a
minute
now.
This
you're not worrying on. About the Constitution?
How could I worry about the Constitution when the lawbreakers are breaking the Constitution on a regular basis? How could me, as a citizen, seeing the people who read the Constitution are the lawmakers in Parliament... I heard the Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Hubert Alexander Minnis, say that when the people came in the effort, we're going to have to break some people's constitutional rights.
I heard it too, you know.
So if you heard that.
Yes.
So this changed what I'm speaking of. See, this Fox, Mr. Thompson.
No,
so you cannot.
I'm not saying that statement. Now listen carefully
go
now.
Ahead.
Don't get.
I'm not even going to argue. I'm not even going to argue. You're just having a conversation, but I'm just saying.
No, but I understand that. I'm prepared to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, we know you got a couple more minutes, but go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, give me another minute, then I'll get
go ahead, Mr. Thompson.
Yeah.
You are a respected man in this country.
Yeah, okay. The thing is that, yes, he said it. The Bahamian people have a remedy to deal with any government that violates the Constitution. That's one. Number
yes,
two, the Bahamian people have a remedy to deal with any parliamentarian who violates the Constitution. Number three, the Bahamian people can deal with a parliamentarian who is not carrying out his or her responsibility for that particular constituency for which he or she was elected.
They had a recall system. And they just had a recall system. And then nothing happened with that. We have a recall system that the Ministry of Administration did. And they recalled by crap. Who was underperforming.
But then what happened?
It's there. But it's there. He have a recall system. When the lady put a picture up, what's your name now, who got shot before the court? Lakeisha Road?
Yeah.
When she got those allegations, no? Was there a recall system? No, nothing. But it's there. See, the Constitution only can apply if the person is righteous and apply the Constitution. But if someone want to break the law, they don't want to apply the Constitution because the Constitution is the supreme law of the Bahamas. But yeah. So you can't go with the Constitution if you want to break the law, if it's the supreme law of the country.
That
so
is where the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas has to deal with
that
does not obey the law.
Now you're getting
a different kettle of fish altogether.
So that's why I say we can't be a Christian nation. We're only saying that. But when the reality breaks down, we're not a Christian nation because we break the Constitution, we break all the laws, and we allow it. So we're not a Christian nation. So we can't say we're a Christian nation. We is a nation of sinners. And if you don't watch out, we have a tsunami come wipe us out in this country.
Okay.
You know, if
somebody, thanks for allowing me to contribute to your show.
You all saw you as a great man, and you are more knowledge
than
anyone. Yes, sir. My pleasure. And he did a wonderful job, but like I said, there's things I read, and I'm intelligent, and I'm not saying I'm always right. I'm never trying to be always right. You know what? Let me say I'm always right. But I know that this ain't no Christian nation. Not this Bahamas. Because we're a Christian nation. We got 1,300 people in jail. We have high unemployment. We have people sleeping in cars. We have women flying dead and decomposing all over Nassau. We, right now, how many murders? We have your, where it is? 50% in child abuse. For this, where it is? 50% increase. Let me see where it is. Where it going? Yeah. We have 50% increase in child abuse case up this year. So you think our problem is going to get easier anytime soon? The same 50 cases, 50% increase in child abuse case, the same children coming up to be the next murderer, the next rapist, the next armed robber. One or two might come out to be great citizen. But in this, if we keep this up, it's a continuous. And this country is no Christian country. And this is no short to Mr. Thompson. I highly respect Mr. Thompson. And his word is concrete. I was only saying some things like how it go way back. And even though we have the Constitution in the Bahamas, our law, our leaders are not Christian. Some don't have no Christian values. All morals, all praise God. So that's why some of these teen states won't pass. Same sex marriage and all this stuff. Because they don't have no God. So stop saying that we're a Christian nation. Okay? There might be people in the country who are Christian. And people who lead the country. They might be the leaders. But they don't have no connection to God. Some of them. I can't say in the case of Brave Davis or Dr. Hubert Minnis. But they're in the church. And they say it in the church. Do they look like they act like they Christians? Huh? Some of them deacon in church and they look like they is any deacon and they love people? Christian is only a word. You got to apply it. You got to show love like how Christ did. So when you say in Christianity, Christianity is L-O-V-E and helping others. Okay, I'm completely out of time. I'll see you next week on Garden Radio 969. I'm Valentino Brand. Host of the talk show Inside Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Garden Radio 96.9 FM. We ain't no Christian nation. We were probably 60, 70 years ago, Mr. Thompson. Because you are a good Christian man. You abide by the laws. You help others. So you excluded. You're a Christian man. But a lot of those politicians and a lot of these pastors, we even say there's pastors and they're Christian. Some of them got boys wide open than some of these criminals on the road. That's why so much change happening in this country. So much false leaders who leading the sheep astray. I owe you. See you next week on Garden Radio 96.9 FM.
La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. But I do.